Ashrenu, to be able to be Mekabel Shabbos with Rav Kook. Yishlayim is going to be Shabbos very soon. Have to speak to the kids in Eretz Yisrael. It's Amish. It's be like in an hour, not even an hour, a few minutes. So let's try to be in Yishlayim. We're going to begin now to learn the seventh Maimer in Chochmas HaKadosh, called Hasoidius Akrolelus. Hasoidius Akrolelus. I hope that you all have that in front of you. If not, it's impossible to just listen to. It's hard to ever do that, especially with Rav Kook. Hasoidius Akrolelus. This whole section, the first section of Ayres HaKadosh, is where Rav Kook reveals to us the difference between Chochmas HaKadosh and Chochmas HaChol. Chochmas HaKadosh. And what is Chochmas HaKadosh? And Rav Kook, as we've been learning, is not a person who rejected Chochmas HaChol. But Chochmas HaKadosh is inherently different, completely different from the Chochma of this world. And once a person understands that, then the Chochmas of this world are able to be taken to the context and within that mezgeres of Chochmas HaKadosh and to be used, as we were learning in the last Maimer of Maaseh Bereishis, Maaseh Merkava, to be used as a way of helping with, helping us understand in a deeper level Chochmas HaKadosh, that it's not a steer, but everything has to be in the right perspective. Hasoidius HaKolelus. Now, nowadays, philosophy is not something that most people are interested in. It's not, even when I was in high school and starting college, there was a certain mystique. There was something exciting about philosophy, studying philosophy. Most of the kids these days are not looking that up on their iPhones and stuff. They're not particularly interested in philosophy. And because of that, some of what Rav Kook says here will be a little bit hard for us to understand. But we can apply it to the Chochmas HaKadosh of our times as well. There's a sentence before we read the words of this Maimer. There's a sentence that's found in one of Rav Kook's letters. In the first chelik on page Mem Ches of his letters, Rav Kook writes the following. This will be by way of introducing this Maimer. There was a certain Rav that was well known as a very chashuv v'talmid chacham, but also as a person who was known to be Isaac in Inyanim of philosophy. Shikhan, in those days, was extremely, extremely popular. And he was studying philosophy. And in that letter, Rav Kook wrote to this Talmud Chacham / philosopher, Lo lekant noshuv. We're not returning. Our return is not to the philosopher Immanuel Kant. Kim liyamsuf, lesinai, liyushalayim, laavram, lemoshe, ledavid, lerbi kiva, lerbi shum bayachai, lechol ahuvenu, shehim chayenu, umesois libenu ade ad. Our return, as we return to Eretz Yisrael, and as we prepare to greet Mashiach, our return is not to Immanuel Kant, who was the ovi-ovis of modern. Philosophy. Our return is not to Immanuel Kant. Our return is to Yam Suf and Hasinai, to Yerushalayim, Avraham, Moshe, David, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, L'chol Ahuvenu, all of those whom we love, Shehim Chayenu, because only these are our lives. Mesaisli Bein on the joy of our hearts, Ade Ad. And she writes in the letter, so it's a good way to begin. Now we're going to try to just read the Maimer and to teach it as much as possible into regular spoken English. And Mitzvah over the next few weeks, we'll try to learn it together with the Rav Avinair's parish. By the way, the Sefer is coming in, Mitzvah Shem. Yeah, so it should be pretty soon. It's already in I guess it's in Eretz Yisrael, and the Svarim store is already. Should be coming here soon. Yeshkar to Moshe David for taking care of all the pages and the Svarim. Yeshkar to Moshe David. So let's learn inside. Ha-philosophia eina mistaraz ki malchelik yedua shel olam haruchni. Philosophy is only mistaraz, is only mispashethes. It only includes, it only spreads over chelik yadua shel olam haruchni, a certain known chelik of spiritual life. Philosophy is only includes a certain chelik of life. And you could replace that now, instead of philosophy, plug in whatever the inyan is. But it chokhmas achol. At that time, that was the rage. But chokhmas achol. Whatever it is in secular studies and secular wisdom, that is popular and that has taken hold of secular society. Philosophy was a more sophisticated and profound interest in the world through the post-Middle Ages, through the Enlightenment, all the way up to the days of the, let's say, probably the mid-20th century when things turned more towards Elvis Presley and the Beatles. But there was certainly, and in general, the closing of the Western mind and the numbing of intellectualism and intelligence and so on, which has brought us to the elections of 2020. Actually, that was already the elections from a few elections ago, not just the most recent one. Whatever it happens to be, but whatever it is, it's only mistaraz ki malchelik yadua shel olam haruchni. Philosophy was already choshev. When I was growing up, it was considered to be a choshev thing that you could sit like, you know, in the cafeteria and talk to somebody about Immanuel Kant. It was like a choshev conversation. There was the Yankees Mets table, right? But if you were like at a choshev table, you were talking about Inyanim, Hume, and you were talking about philosophy and politics. It's Mr. Askim al chelik yadua shel olam haruchni b'tiva hi netuka hi nesuka mimashu chutz l'gvilesah. All secular disciplines, including philosophy, by their nature, are detached from anything that's chutz from their gvul, that's outside of their gvul. They're detached from anything. They are speaking of a particular discipline, a particular inyan, a particular nakuda. But life itself and all the variables of life are not included in any chachma of this world. Every chachma is a specific thing. I mentioned some years ago that I remember when we were first married, so I was trying to make a couple extra dollars outside of teaching yeshiva. I was going in hashgach, I was being mashgiach. I don't mean a mashgiach ruchni. I mean a mashgiach of a meat, you know, in catering halls and restaurants and stuff. And there was a summer that I spent as mashgiach in Brookdale Hospital in Brooklyn. Now, some of you might be familiar with that. It's not safe territory for Trump voters these days. We'll put it that way. But back then, there were a lot of Jews there and a lot of Jewish doctors. There might still be a lot of Jewish doctors. I don't know what's going on. And they had a kosher. They had a kosher cafeteria. And I had this gig to be mashgiach in the kosher cafeteria, which is pretty. It was a pretty good thing, because I didn't have to go running around to a lot of restaurants. I had this one thing every day in Brooklyn. And And I became friends with, I was a young married guy, married for whatever, a year or two. And there were doctors, all these interesting chevra. And I became friends with them. It was packed with Jewish doctors that were coming to this cafeteria. And I became friendly, and I was schmoozing them. And it was an amazing thing to me that all they ever talked about was the frumans. All they spoke about was medicine and their patients. I get it. The ones that were not Jewish or were not religious spoke about that, and also the nurses. That was the conversation. The frum ones were Hashem, were not. But the whole metzias was a metzias of that sugya. It was interesting to me, like, to hear the conversations when I was there. It was so completely in that inyan, which, you know, if it's a matter of caring for your patients, but all of the dibum, everything is in that discipline, in that world. And I was thinking, you know, you guys taking your break, why don't you relax a little bit, talk about Gemara Rashi Tosis, you know, talk about something else. Talk about the parasha, something, except for this one and this and that. It's the latest thing, that, you know. It's the nature of Chachma Sa'olam. Chachma Sa'olam, as great as that Chachma is, he says, it's cut off. It's out of touch. The Chachmas of this world are out of touch with everything that's outside of its gvulim. Out of touch. Now medicine is so specialized that your whole life could be just by a nose or by a toe. And if something's bothering this guy in his left nostril, you're a right nostril guy. And if something's bothering him in his left nostril, he says, "Oh, Shuldik, I got to send you to get to the left. There's a left nostrilologist, and he's the guy that takes. I only know how to do the right nostril, and Shuldik, I'm sorry." Everything is so specialized. Back by Rav Kook, it wasn't Ad Kedei Kach. Now everything is so specialized. And I don't know anything about these chachmas, so I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm assuming that in economics and other areas, also in market economics, it's all becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. And in your Inyan, Zehu, anything that's michutz from the gvulas of your Inyan, it's not shaykh to you.
The Chafetz Chaim spoke about being with horse traders.
Of being what?
Of being with horse traders, and he was relieved because all they spoke about was
they didn't speak Lashon Hara.
Right.
They spoke about horses. Yeah. But you used to have the Schneiderl shul. There was a shul for the tailors, and there was a shul for the blacksmiths. It's natural that people gather together with others who share common interests. But Aval Zehu, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. It's Nesuk Mashu Chutz LeGvulasa UBeze Atzmai He Meferedes BePnimiusa Perud Mohusi. So Rav Kook says, therefore, every discipline of the world, every chacham of the world, b'zeh atzma, in its essence, is a Torah of pirud, of divisiveness, of separateness, of fragmentation. It's a piece. So by nature, all of the chachmas of the world, like you see, like when you hear some of the things that are coming out from these places, I'm not even talking about these World Health Organizations. These are corrupt, all these health organizations. It's one of the things that I find most shocking. I shouldn't say shocking, but most troubling is that there's a focus on a certain inyan with this machla, but it's completely out of touch with civilization. How did it come to be? Like, how does these things come to be? And I'm going to hold myself back. I know I haven't been so good about that. I'm going to try. But how did it come to be? You know that. My wife is telling me that. So they have certain states. There are dinim that they're allowed to open up these disgusting bars where people are drinking and talking, and they're not wearing their masks. They're not social distance, but they can't go to church in the same shtetl. In the same town or the same state, they can go to the bar, but they can't go to church. Because the world of those, because it can't be explained rationally. It can't be explained rationally. And we're all seeing that many, many of these chukim are arbitrary. They're not understandable as a klal. They don't make sense. They don't stim with all the other halachas. And because that inyan of the bar is still part of the world of that mushchas in the Department of Health, you understand, or the governor's office. It's part of that world. But anything that's michutz to the gvulas of their world, that human beings would feel that religion is something which is an essential need in their lives, doesn't rate. It doesn't rate. It doesn't work. These people in these health departments, particularly have these people that they're sitting there, many of them are not even doctors. They're people that are sitting in the same office for 50 years. They're talking about John F. Kennedy's cold, you know what I mean? And they're guys are gazeres, and they're taken seriously in the state and in the country. And they're out of touch. They're out of touch with what you see, to be out of touch with the damage that gazeres and chukim, the damage that it's causing in human life, and it's out of touch. They have their one inyan, which is the infection, which they also don't understand. So they're touching up the infection in all kinds of crazy ways. And with that touch that they have of the infection, they're making gzeiros and chukim that are killing the world, that are destroying the world. That Eif Shalamud Behem. Even though there's only a 1%, 0.101% chance that you're going to get this sickness, but the gzeiros and the chukim are out of touch with life, are out of touch with the world. They don't fit with the world. And that's how it is with all Chachmas Ha'olam. All Chachmas Ha'olam are like that. It's their inyan, and nothing michutz legvulosav min nutak, cut off. And that, therefore, it's himafredesber pnimiusa perid mahusi. Therefore, all of these Chachmas, again, Rav Kook was a person that was, as we know, was not against Chachmas Ha'olam. But he says, all these Chachmas, you have to understand, by nature, they are the bepnimiusa perud mohusi. Perud mohusi. They're from the alma de piruda, the world of pirud, of separation of division. Perud mohusi. And the mohus, and the essence of these chachmas, and you could see by how disconnected they are from life and from the world. Perud mohusi. Sigul ha-hakara, eich kol ha-deyes ha-hargosha, eich kol ha-deyes ha-hargosha s'vahanatiyas kulam mikotnam va'ad godlam mechubor mezebezeh. The ability to understand, to recognize how all deyos, all thoughts, all ways of thinking, hargoshas, all emotions, Vahnatiyas, nor all inclinations. Kulam, all. Mikotnam va'ad godlam, from the smallest, tiniest little feeling of a little kid, to the deepest, deepest thought of the greatest thinker. And everything, all natiyas, all inclinations in life. Va'ad godlam chubar mezebezeh, how they're all connected, organically, all connected one to the other, how they're all connected. Ve'echem poilim zelza, and how each affects the other. Ve'ech oilimus nefrodim urugonim yachad, and how worlds that seem to be worlds that seem to be have no shaykhas one to the other are what? Are mi'urugonim yachad, the whole limit of Kabbalah, all of the Seder Shtauslos, everything, how it's connected to everything else. Ze'ein b'koich l'tzayir. Philosophy does not have the ability ein b'koich l'tzayir, does not have the ability to portray, to paint. Doesn't connect the dots. It's a dot. It's just a separate, lonely dot from the alma de piruda, But it is not connected to all of the other dots. V'lazois tishar tomit higoyin aristokrati. And because of that, philosophy will always be a way of thinking for aristocrats. Now, what does he mean by aristocrat? We have certain associations with aristocrat. He's not saying it in a complimentary way. He's saying it the way Rabbi Nachman would say, a chacham. Tell me, you go in aristocracy. The conversation, philosophy will always be the limud, the conversation of the chashuvim. You understand? Those who are chashuvim in their eyes, who consider themselves to be above the rest of mankind. To a certain extent, politics is now really replaced, has replaced philosophy. Politics, to a large extent. And it's a certain inyan that is the chelik of people that are better than you. That's why they're so out of touch. That's why, again, I don't know, but there was an old song we used to listen to from Simon and Garfunkel when I was a kid, and one of the words were, I get all the news I need on the weather report. You know? So that's I get all the news I need on the weather report. But I have children who sometimes fill me in, and my daughter told me that there's a mayor, I don't know, from where, some city, a big mayor, that he's from the Reich of the progressive liberal Chevra, and that he went on a plane to visit Mishpacha on Thanksgiving. And the same way that Pelosi went to get a hair done without a mask, and this is going on Keseda, this type of hypocrisy. But I don't even think it, I wouldn't even rate it as hypocrisy. I think that these people, that would already be like a something. It's not even hypocrisy. They're totally oblivious to reality. They're completely out of touch. If you ever listen to one of the drushes of Bernie Sanders, he's a Yidin. Hashem Shavrachamayis, he's a bizarre to do tshuva. Whenever you hear one of the drushes of this guy, I heard a little bit from some of his drushes. I was just sitting listening to this. This is like being in 1952. This is post-World War II. This guy is talking 1952. And he's got thousands of kids that were running after him, college kids that were chasing him. He was unbelievably popular. Completely out of touch with reality. Nothing is connected. It's the Alma de Pura de Mamish. These people are not, it's not that they're just, I like to think that they're not Rishoyim. I mean, the Rosh, the leaders are some of the big Rishoyim. But the regular people are not Rishoyim, they're regular people. But they're just taken by these chachmas that are completely minutakim from the totality of life. Completely separated. Out of touch. Therefore, he says, "Lazayis teshar tamid higoyin aristocrati." Therefore, philosophy will always be the chelik of the aristocrats. The aristocrats. Miyuchad liyichidim shebibnei adam. Only for certain yichidim shebibnei adam. So they could talk all about their ideas and their concepts, and what does it have to do with my parnasa? What does it have to do with my having anything to eat? What does it have to do with raising my children? You'll read books that were written by people whose entire life is the psychology of children, and they don't have children. They don't have children. Or like somebody I once told you in Farakwa, there was on our block, there was the niece of the one who wrote the most famous book on child psychology, and the niece said that her children haven't spoken to her in 30, 40 years because she's a machshefesh of machshefes. She destroyed their lives. This one's on drugs. This one's on all kinds of service. From the woman who wrote the book, that's the most famous book. I don't want to say the name because it's also a Jewish person. But the most famous book on raising children. The most famous book. Maybe not now, but it was then. The most famous book, number one New York Times, number one bestseller, on raising children. There's no shaykh to children. There's not shaykh to children. It was a chachma that was separated from the world. It wasn't realistic. The one who doesn't have any children is telling a room full of mothers about how you have to spend you have to talk to the child like this, talk about the child like that. And the mother thinks, I got one in the bathtub. The other one is climbing on the chandeliers, about to kill himself. And this one, and he's telling me, you should have a half hour talk with the child before going to the bathtub about how this is something that is, this is very meaningful to us as a family, and you're bathing or something. No Indian with the world, with life. Yisrael Menu he has ideas. But then Rav Kook says, there's a different world. It's called the world of Said. Saidius means Pnimius HaTorah. Because when Rav Kook is obviously skipping something, because we would have expected him here just to go into a regular conversation of what? Torah. We would have thought he was now going to go after that Indian of philosophy. The next step would have been for Rav Kook to go to regular learning of Nigla, Gemara, Chumash Rashi, and so on. He doesn't do that. It's not because he didn't know that stuff. And it's not because he thought we might not notice that he was skipping something. That's not Shaykh. He goes right into Saidius. And it's, the reason is because Rav Kook knew very, very well that you could also be a tremendous Talmud Chacham and be completely detached. And you could also be an expert in Zvachim and Menachos. You could be an expert in Ksubis and Kedushin. You could be an expert in rabbinical hermeneutics. You could be an expert in all that stuff. And still, the dots are not being connected. They're not being connected. The connections between everything that exists, every single thought, emotion, and inclination, that's in the world of Sod. That's Yisayim Yimenu, he has Soidius. Soidius. Nobody ever wrote such a word. Sod means secret. Soidius means the secretive way of life. It doesn't mean secrets like regular secrets. The pneumistic way of life. Soidius. Soidius. Shehi b'teva chayderes b'kol ha'taymes shekol ha'mashavis. The teva. Now you can learn sod also, which Rav Kook was very upset about. You can learn sod in such a way where it's also a chachma. Because you're a Kabbalist. You majored in Kabbalah in college. You could probably go to Northwestern in Chicago and you can major in Kabbalah. You can major in mysticism. And you could study it as a chachma. And when you study as a chachma, it could have absolutely no bearing on anything else in your life. It's just another chachma. And you can learn a piece of the Zohar the same way you learn the Taisus in Kiddush, as a chachma. Not that we're supposed to learn Taisus that way. But you can do that. And you can do that even with a piece of Sod, with a piece of Kabbalah. But Soidius is something else. Soidius. That's something else. Soidius is something else. So we're talking a little bit about in the Hagdama to Beyam Dekach this morning. Soidius. It's not Sod, it's Soidius. And in that world of Soidius, B'teva, it's Chederes B'kol, it penetrates. Chederes B'kol HaTahimah Shekol HaMachshav, enters into the depths, into the Tahimahs of all Machshavs, of all thoughts. Shekol hargoshes and all emotions. Shekol hanetias and all inclinations. Again, we're just trying to translate. We're going to learn this Inyan Ba'imek afterwards. Shekol hasheifas and all human aspirations. All that people want. All that people aspire to. Shekol ha'olamas and all worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira. Above this world, all oilmas. It's chederes bakol. Meirosh ad saif, from the highest to the lowest. Meirosh ad saif.
That's chederes bakol.
It means chederes bakol means it penetrates, seeps in. Like the word cheder. What does cheder mean? A room, right? Mm-hmm. Cheder, a cheder. It means inside. Choder. Goes in. Cheder is chesed din rachamim. Cheder. Fills. He makeres es ha'ichud sheyesh b'chol ha'motzui. This is Rav Kook's entire existence. Sidius recognizes that which unifies all that exists, which scientists are searching for. We spoke a lot about that. They're looking for that. They over the last century, a little bit more than a century, there is this recognition that all that we've been studying are pieces and we haven't put them together. And there is this tremendous tshuka on the part of some great people to figure out how to connect the dots. We're getting closer to Mashiach. Mashiach is when the picture is completed. So there is this tshuka to connect the dots that's felt in the world. So you have some people that they're pushing so hard for interdisciplinary whatever. Interdisciplinary. To go back to some sort of a family doctor. Interdisciplinary. Where it's not just the study of the left nostril. How everything affects everything. Everything is, it's all, Hashem made the world in such a way. And Sodius is Makaris, I say, Ichud Shiesh Bechol HaMatzui. Only Sodius, not Nigla, not when you're learning regular learning, Nigla, revealed Torah. Only Sodius takes you and brings you deeper and deeper into that interconnectedness of all the dots coming together. All thoughts, all emotions, all inclinations, all worlds are connected, one to the other. Gashmiyusai viruchniyuso, not only in ruchnias, not only spiritually, but in gashmias. In gashmias. Bigadlusai ubekatnuso, not only with great matters or great things, but bekatnusai, even to the smallest. Hakara pnimis, with a deep inner understanding and recognition. Umishum kach, ein lefinah ha'gadol v'katan. Therefore, in the world of sight, in the world of pnimius, there's no such thing that something is important and something's not important. That's only when you're an aristocratic kind of a guy. Then there's the important, there's not important. There's your inyan, which is the whole world. In other words, if you happen to be an accountant, that's the most chashuv thing. If you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're whatever, that's the chashivas. If you're an athlete, that's the whole thing. And mimela, you're not gairus. You're not gairus other things. Things that are small, anything that's outside of your gvul, by definition to you, is lo shaveh. It's not worth anything. It's not important. It's outside of your gvul. But in Sidious, there's no such thing like that. Because since everything is connected, means everything is in your gvul. There's nothing that's outside. There's nothing that's michutz. And Rav Kook, therefore, was criticized because he spoke even about a connection to the world, to the non-Jewish world. And to take responsibility for the non-Jewish world as well. The Jews was sent here not just to care for ourselves. And people got all upset with him, among many other things that he said. They got upset with him. And over the years of Galus, we have found that amongst our people, there's a disdain for the outside world. The outside world has no shaychus to me. There's no shaychus to me. What's chabach mit them? What do I have with him? He's a guy. There's no shaychus to him. There's no shaychus to the world. This come out very strongly, especially during this last kufa, in different ways. No shaykhis to the world, no responsibility, no achrayis for the world at all. What do I have achrayis for? I have achrayis for my bisa medrash. I have achrayis for my dal ramas. I have achrayis for my family. If somebody in your family is sick, you don't want a doctor. You call up from people that have these agencies, and you only want the doctorship of doctors, right? But the rest of the world can drop dead. The rest of the world could drop dead. But if my yankala, if my sarula is not feeling well, I don't go to some local doctor. I have to go to Mount Sinai. I'm going to go to Cornell. I'm not going to some regular doctor. Afyanim, though, however, if it's another Jew, of course I also want that. But it's outside of, I like it, but it's outside of my, really, my Inyan and my Dalamas. What do I have with him? A Shaykh? I'm a Shaykh to him. That's not Yiddishkeit. That's a different religion. That's not Yiddishkeit. Of course, there are dinim that separate, and there's not the bruchatonu, and there are halachas that make distinctions and so on, in terms of priorities and halachas of pikuach nefesh b'chulu b'chulu and kedim. We're not going into that. And everybody knows that, but not to care at all a shaykhs. Like I told you once, one of the most upsetting things years ago when I mentioned this a few times, when that Challenger, was it called? You know, the rocket blew up that first time. It blew up, and remember, it went up right when it was called the Challenger?
Yeah.
And right when it went up, in front of all the people watching, in front of their wives and their kids, the thing blew up in the sky. And I remember that I was on Main Street. I was on Main Street in the Swarm Store on Main Street in Kew Gardens Hills, and it was on the news, and everybody was standing around listening. And there was a guy that we all went to listen by the radio, and there was a guy there that was looking at the safe, and he said, "What are you getting all fahitzed about a bunch of grain that blew up?" There was also a Jewish person, by the way, a relative of Shlomo Freifeld, by the way, was on the thing.
Say again, a relative.
Of Shlomo Freifeld.
She was
Yeah, it was a Jewish woman that was killed on there.
That was
Rav Shlomo Freifeld's mishpacha. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was told. It's a mishpach for Epsilon 5. So, besides that, there was a Jewish person that was on the thing. What's the matter with you? There are people, the wives are standing, the husbands are standing there. There was a teacher, she was a teacher with students, that they're watching the thing, and it blows up, and the guy says, what are you getting all so worked up about? A bunch of guns, they blew up. It's to hear such a thing come from a Jewish mouth, and he thinks that, you know, he's a guy that goes to the mikveh, and he's a guy that learns. And how could it be such a disconnection from the world, from the most basic feeling of compassion that we could find amongst people like ourselves? It's not coming from Yiddishkeit, but there is something about a person who spends his entire life, even in Torah, without the dots getting connected, that can make him very, very small. Can make you into a very small person. And you could have a guy that he's terrific in the Beis HaMedrash. When he goes into his house, he talks to his wife like he's hacking with a charusa, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because when you walk into that door, there needs to be some expansion. And it's not happening. He's still figuring out the taisus. God bless him. But he's still figuring out the taisus. The problem is, his wife and kids are not taisus. That's the problem. It's a serious problem. Soidius, if it's, again, all of this is talking about when things are not being done properly, but when a person is in the teva, he's saying, the nature of soidius, that could be messed up also. As I said before, you could study it like Professor, you know, Gershom Sholem studied Kabbalah. But soidius by nature, the world of soid, is that place where the dots get connected. And therefore, nothing is small. Everything is important. There's no such thing as, who cares about a guy getting blown up? What do you mean, who cares about a guy getting blown up? Because you don't have a shaykhus, because you don't see that there's any dot that's connecting to this person. One of the problems that we have learning Tanakh is that Tanakh is very much Tanakh is very much representing the dots being connected, and that over the years of Golis we sort of put Tanakh on the side. So we prefer the Tosfos and Kedushin. You understand? As we get closer to Mashiach, there's more of a tshuka to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. But Tanakh is talking more about the bigger picture. And the bigger picture doesn't fit into the picture in the yeshiva. The picture in the yeshiva is microscopic. And the picture in Tanakh is like, you know, telescopic, I don't know. It's big. And that's why there are so many things in Tanakh we just don't understand. So how do you tell, like, some sweet yeshiva bacher, like, how do you explain, like, all these people, you know, killing each other and running after Avodah Zarah? He was told that baseball is Avodah Zarah. And then you're going to show him what it's, they're going to open up with him, a Navi? And he's going to say, this looks like it's worse than baseball. And Mitchilo, Avodah Zarah, I mean, you remember my Zaydis and Bobbies were doing this stuff? I'm not allowed to watch a game, and my bubbies and Zaydis were doing this kind of stuff. What is that? And they're not dots to make any connection between themselves and our past. That's why Jewish history, don't study Jewish history. Off. Not part of the curriculum. How could you expect a guy to sit down to understand a black Gemara? He thinks that they're talking in one Bais HaMedrash, right? He opens up the Gemara and he thinks that all the Tanaim and all the Amarim, even though this one lived 100 years and 200 years before or after the other one, he thinks they're all sitting in the Bais HaMedrash talking. He has no clue. The typical Yeshiva Bach has no clue that these Tanaim and Amarim lived at different times. And they're speaking across generations, across time. He has no idea. Rashi, Tosis, who the Balei Tosis, what's Rashi? Jewish history, off limits. Why? It's the bigger picture. It's a broader picture, a broader vision, and they're going to have a Shvius HaKelim. Our job is to just try to understand this Inyan. But to feel completely cut off from Jewish history. It's not just Goyim that don't think about the Holocaust anymore. Go. We can go right now. We can go to one of the local high schools. I'm not talking about little kids. Go to one of the local high schools and start asking them a few questions about the Holocaust. Did you hear the Holocaust? Of course we heard the Holocaust. After that, it's downhill. You talk now to talk about the Holocaust. They don't feel a shaychus to the Holocaust. You know, you say, you know, your great-grandfather was in concentration camp. No shaychus. No shaychus. Disconnected. Nothing to do with it. No picture of where we are and where we're coming from. No shayrish, no makar. That's the Inyan of Yavon, of Greece. That's the Inyan of Chanukah, the whole Inyan of Chanukah. Achakach bo'u v'necha lidvir be'secha. Bo'u b'necha. The whole Nitzachon of Chanukah is to say, you have a yichus. Where do you come from? Where do you come from? The Inyan of Yavon, of Chochmas Yavon, is what Rav Kook is talking about. Philosophy, all the Chochmas of the world is, ki'ilu, the world came into existence, hayom, today. The world just, hayom haras oilam, today. Mashahaya, mashahiyya, mazinogeli, mazichpatli, what was, where this is going, like we spoke about last week, the Nazir explained, Maisi Bereshis is where everything comes from, and Maisi Merkava is where everything is going to. Let's take a 10th grader right now, the smartest one in the class, not some, take the smartest one in the class and say, and talk to him a little bit, scratch a little bit, gornish. Let's see, it happens to be in a house with the parents or in the sugi very much, maybe something. Otherwise, nothing. Nothing. It's only a question of galaxy 7, 8, or 9, whatever. That's the galaxy. They call it galaxy kilos, like some sort of galaxy. There's nothing smaller than galaxy. But not anything at all. And then when you go with that kid and you listen to the class that he's in, for 10 minutes you realize why that is. It doesn't take more than 5, 10 minutes. You see that. It's a microscopic life. Microscopic. Anything that's beyond that is a threat. It's not understood. You're not a part of something historic. You're not a part of something historic. You're just some dangling piece, some microbe in time that has to satisfy itself this moment. There's no responsibility for your ancestors. There's no responsibility for your descendants. The only responsibility you have is to please yourself at this moment. So, that's the only responsibility you have, is to please yourself at this moment. This moment, to please yourself. It's kind of shum shaychus to any of the other dots from the past, from the future, or anything even from the present. Outside of your microscopic existence, shum davar. No interest. Talk to kids. No interest. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. So you're hoping at some point they're going to take them on some Jewish heritage trip and they'll go to Auschwitz and they'll go, whoa, what happened over here? What happened over here? Ooh, looks like bad things happened over here. And we're hoping that through that somehow, you know, they're going to take their tefillin seriously or something, whatever. That you're part of something. It began a long time before you and it's going to go on for a long time after you. That's not how our children are being raised. They're being raised, it's only about you right now. So, there's nothing at all that's bigger than the moment, this time, this place. Nothing. You're not part of anything.
And even Gemara people could be.
Again, it all depends how. It doesn't mean because you're learning Gemara. Gemara is Kodesh Kedoshim. But you can become, it's very easy to become a tree person and to lose the forest. Because the nature of that discipline is to get very, very, very. You know, that's why one of the most beautiful things is that you'll learn Chazon Ish, his form, is very hard. Not learned that much. Everybody, you know, the Maskonis and Halacha and the people who are close to him, but his form, is very hard. But then all of a sudden, if you close the Chazon Ish, and then you open up Emunah B'Tochen with Chazon Ish, and then the first sentence you read, you go, wow, this poetry. You know, Rav Yosef Zecher Tzadik Livracha, there's only one side of him that we knew. Because that's the only side that his chever were comfortable with. But there's a beautiful sefer that I have at home of drushes that he gave. He didn't say them because he didn't speak publicly. But he wrote. In Yonah of Agadita, not Halacha. And it's hard to believe it's the same person. The emotions, because he never showed any emotions. Didn't show emotions. But you see that he's a rich, deep person. Chazon Ish, these are great people. Great people. But the Olam that was day to day in the Beis Medrash, they didn't come into contact with that. They came into contact with the Tosfos. They came into contact with that way of learning, which by definition is not expansive and broad. But as we've been learning the past few years, especially on Shavuos nights, we've been doing this a lot, is that then you have the Ragachov, the Avinezer, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, other tzaddikim, the Reb Chaim Brisker, that their way of learning was to look at it more from the klal, the bigger picture. Not just that detail on the blot, but to see it from a higher perspective. And so on. That's part of what we're moving towards with Mashiach. That's why that's been happening over these past 100, 150 years so strongly. A need that Jews who are learning Torah have to be able to understand the connection between this Gemara and my life. The connection between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. What's the connection between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav? What's the connection between how they lived in the time of Tanakh and how we live now? Do you think that a person who would just, if this was like a time machine, if the, you know, like they had in the old shows, and somebody from Tanakh would come right now into our lives, he'd walk in with his robes and his whole mahalach, whatever he's got over there, he'd walk into our lives with his sandals and stuff, and he would sit down over here, he would have an inkling of what we're talking about? Would he bechlal recognize talking to us that we're Jews? What was a person like in the time of Tanakh? What was a person like? What was life like at that time? was so far removed from soidius that the thought of even going to these places is so challenging that we don't, and we make sure that our kids don't go near it. It's too frightening. It's too frightening. Because the same way that if you like, I remember, you know, for Hanukkah, so I was in Williamsburg when the kids were little, and I bought some toys in the toy store in Williamsburg, and I brought back a coloring book. I just grabbed it off the thing, some coloring books, and it had to color, and it had over there about Moshe Rabbeinu Mitzrayim, and it had Mitzrayim looked like Lee Avenue. It had like storefronts and signs, and then it had Misyavnim, the Hellenists. So there was a picture and had boys playing basketball with little yarmulkes and set on at Yeshiva University. That was the Hellenists page to color in. The Hellenists. So what do you can tell this kid in Chaydi, you can tell him, pull him on the side and say, look, this is Moshe. You know, it's not exactly how it was. You know, back then. It wasn't like that. They didn't have pro kids or con sneakers, you understand? They weren't. That's not it. That's not it. It was something else. What else? Because to them, under the microscope, that's called modern. That's called modern. It's completely cut off from the broader picture. And I'm not saying that it doesn't have to be to a certain extent. I'm not arguing with it. I'm just trying to describe a metzias that's not whole. It's just not whole. And when you're learning something and that's all there is, and you're not also the Chazon Ish, you don't have that secret life of Sodius, and all there is that Blat Gemara, and you don't even want to learn the sections of the Gemara that are not halacha, then there's a very, very, very strong pull to smallness, to being a very small person. There's a very strong pull. And it takes a concerted effort on the part of such an individual, and often it happens when they get older and they feel like, you know, somebody didn't tell me the whole story, that there's something else going on here. So they happen to be going to Mincha Maariv, and they got to Mincha a few minutes early, and there was some shir and somebody sang over the Maharal or something, and this Yeshiva Bacha says, well, what's that? I didn't know. Like I told you that there were these fathers that came. I was years ago. We still did it for Rockaway, and there was an NCSY Shabbaton. Some Shabbat Shabbaton, and I had a bunch of kids over Friday night, and I was talking to them about a piece from Reb Tzadik, and there were fathers that came to pick them up, and so the fathers came. They came to get their kids, and I was, as I usually do, I was going too late, and I was going on, and the fathers were standing there, and this father came to me and said, wow, what was that? What was that you were talking about? And it's a guy that learns in yeshiva his whole life. He said, what were you? I said, so Tzadik from Lublin, did you ever hear of him? He said, oh, I heard of him. And he said he said to me he was Hasidish. I said, yeah, he was a Talmud of the Ishbitz, he was Hasidish. He said, and this is what the person said to me. He said, wow, I thought it was just like, you know, I thought Hasidim was just like stories and things. I was saying, how could that be? This guy is like 35, 40 years old, and he somehow got this. I mean, he heard this, that it's stories, that it's ma'isim, and he couldn't understand how could it be that Reb Tzadik is a chassid. How did that happen to him? This guy. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. I don't know his name. I don't remember. I hope he started looking at Reb Tzadik a little bit in other svarim. I don't know. But it's very, very easy to become a minute person. That's why unfortunately, one of the terrible side effects of that is you have some of these people who know how to learn, and then they become rabbis or Rosh Yeshiva, and someone comes to them to ask them questions about Shalom Bayis. Uh-oh. Because officially they're supposed to know everything, because they know how to learn. And they spent 40 years learning, and they know how. The only problem is that the Tosfos and Kedushin didn't talk about, like, why this person's son thinks he's gay, right? What do you mean? It's a Torah, but it's also... You have to tell him he can't do that. What? Tell him he can't do that. He's going to go to Gehenna if he does that. It says in the Chumash, I'll show you, where it says in Torah. It's Mishkav Zohar, it's also... I should tell him that. That's what it says. You think I'm exaggerating? Anybody who's a therapist knows that I'm not exaggerating. The kind of etzes, and if you're a therapist or if you're a rav, and you're dealing with these inyanim, the kind of etzes that you have people, that some people are giving, is completely out of touch with life. Completely out of touch with life. That's why we're seeing certain people who represent large groups of from Jews, that the things that they're saying, the things that they're doing, are out of touch. Lo mechubar, completely minutak, detached from life. Detached from life. But how could it be? The person who goes to him says that this is Das Torah. You represent Das Torah. The answer is no. I represent a good knowledge of Shas and Poskim. Did that make him into a person that understands what to do with this kid? Lav davke. But how come the Chazon Ish was such a person? And Rav Moshe was such a person? How could that be? The tzaddik that Be'emes understands what Torah is and the tachlis of Torah. And not just because he's smart and he's intellectual. Whether he admits it or he doesn't admit it, is part of this world that's called Sidius. It's part of this world that's called Sidius, together with the tremendous Siyata Deshmaya that Hashem gives to Tzadikim. So it's true. In the past, and this is the last point I want to make today, in the past, there were people who didn't necessarily study Sidius. They weren't in the world of Sidius. And they were able to give Givaldige Aces. How could that be? So the answer to that is, because that's always Akasha. I know for a fact that so-and-so did not learn these things, and yet they were a big Chacham and Balei Aces. So the answer to that is, they were Tzadikim. You're not. Meaning, that Rosh Hashiva that you're talking about was a person that didn't grow up watching what you saw on television and the movies. In all honesty, that doesn't still think about these things. When you're talking about that Rosh Hashiva, that Talmud Chacham, he was a Jew that was raised in Kedusha and Tahara. All he had was Kedusha and Tahara. There is such an inyan that Hashem, the Siyata Deshmaya that a tzaddik has. This special Siyata Deshmaya, help from above, for a person who guards himself, there's a Siyata Deshmaya. But you don't necessarily have such Siyata Deshmaya, because you're not a tzaddik. You're smart, but you're not a tzaddik. I respect you. You know how to learn, but you're not a tzaddik. A tzaddik wasn't Isaac in those things, and is not Isaac in these things. You're not a tzaddik. So why don't I necessarily abide by your Das Torah? Because I don't believe that you have Das Torah. That's not called Das Torah. Das Torah doesn't mean to be brilliant. It means to be a tzaddik that's connected in the deepest way to Torah Hashem, and that believes every single second that he's learning Torah that it's Torah Hashem. That doesn't just because you're smart. That doesn't mean you're a Baal Eitzah. You could be very smart in the Gemara, and you could be completely and totally clueless when it comes to life. Ad kedekach, that you lived in a Beis Medrash, you never left the Beis Medrash for 40 years, you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and all of a sudden you got some job, and now you're giving aces to people about how their marriage should be. And if you ask this guy's wife about his marriage, about marriage, what do you have? What made you into a maven of marriage? How did you become a maven in the subject of marriage? Well, because I made you see him 12 times. You could talk to a poyer, a peasant, that has a better feeling for his wife than him. Doesn't mean. It's lav davka. That's not how it's supposed to be. Sadly, that's how it often is. Not supposed to be. The eitzes come with a certain siyata d'shmaya, and a connection to the way of Torah that is everything being connected. Otherwise, it's just a separate piece of Yiddishkeit, and that separate piece of what you learned in that Gemara has no bearing upon Nebuch, this boy that thinks that he's gay. Nothing to do with that boy who thinks he's gay. Anything that you learned did not tell you what to do with this boy who's gay. Nothing told you that. Nothing told you how to talk to him. Nothing told you how to talk to his parents. Nothing told you about that the Baruch Shalom still loves him and how to help him and to tell him that he's still a Yid and he's chayv mitzvahs. Nothing told you. Nothing prepared you for that. But you're not hesitating to tell him. It's awesome. Okay, I'm sorry. It's awesome. That's a serious problem that we're living with now. And this is Rav Kook was screaming, and they didn't want to hear from him. They didn't want to hear from him. Okay, to be continued. Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.